Good evening.
Good evening.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them to Joshua chapter 3. We will be spending our time together meditating on the story in Joshua chapter 3. If you are a note taker, the sermon tonight should be your dream. There will be, a lot of points in an outline form, much of which will be on the screen. So if you like to take notes, this should be right up your alley. But as we prepare to spend our time in the Word together, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. Father, we thank you for the chance that you've given us to be here in a warm building, sheltered from the weather outside. Father, we thank you for the blessings of light and the blessings of pews and the blessings of technology that we get to utilize to help draw us closer to you. Father, we pray as we spend time together tonight and as we live our lives seeking to follow you, that you will help us to use what you've given us for the sake of your glory and for the sake of your kingdom. In the Ohio Valley. Father, we pray that you would do a work in our lives and that you would do a work in our hearts. You would constantly be drawing us closer to you. Father, use the times like this that we have together as we pray and as we sing and as we come before the Word and as we surround the table together and as we surround the table of fellowship upstairs. Use those to mold us into your image. Father, give us strength. Equip us by the power of your Spirit, so that we might be shining light in this community. Father, we give you this time. We give you our hearts, and Father, we give you our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever faced unknown situations? Situations in your life where you just didn't know what the outcome was going to be. Maybe it was a new job, or maybe it was a new family situation. Maybe you were moving to a new community. Maybe there was just some type of life change facing you, and you didn't know exactly how it was going to shape out. Several years ago, many of you know, I was in an accident at camp, collided with Michael Games, and ended up breaking my face. And as part of that accident, I had to have surgery. I remember being at the doctor's office on August 2nd. I remember the date because it was my birthday, and hearing that I was going to have surgery, which I had never been in the hospital before. I had never had any serious surgery. I had never had stitches up until that point. And so the simple fact that I was going to have surgery was kind of freaking me out a little bit. And then the doctor started talking about everything that could go wrong. Like that moment in the doctor's office where there's a list of 1,012 things that could potentially go wrong with this minor surgery. And I remember hearing one of those potential negative side effects would be that I could lose sight in my eye. The surgery was right around, it was part of my eye socket, and so one of the side effects could have been losing sight in that eye. And when I heard that, I was starting to freak out a little bit. I was ready to say, forget the surgery, I'm done with it, I will deal with a deformed face, I will deal with sinuses that don't work at all, I don't want to go down that road. Thankfully, my wife, who was in nursing school, my mom, who was a nurse for most of her life, kind of talked some sense into me. But leading up to that surgery, I was freaking out. I was being probably a little bit melodramatic. In fact, you ask Amanda and she'll say that for sure. I was looking at her, like closing my left eye and saying, I want to look at you one last time before I potentially lose sight. And she would just say, stop it, you're fine, go to bed. But the reality is, it's freaking out a little bit because it was an unknown situation. You can talk about all the statistics as you want, the small likelihood of bad things happening when we face unknown situations, when we face a new situation in life, when we face an unknown, it kind of messes with us a little bit, doesn't it? As we enter the story in Joshua chapter 3, Israel as a nation is facing an unknown. Kind of pick up the story in case you don't remember. The story really goes back to the moment in Genesis chapter 12 where God shows up to a man named Abram and says, I've chosen you and I will make you a great nation and all of the nations of the world will be blessed through you. That crucial moment at the beginning of the book of Genesis. And it goes from there to chronicle the story of God's faithfulness to Abraham as this family of Abraham grows and grows until they finally end up in Egypt. They end up in Egypt as an act of God's providence, as an act of God's blessing and safety and faithfulness to the people. But before long, the nation of Israel, instead of being blessed in Egypt, are now slaves in Egypt. And so for hundreds of years, they live in captivity in Egypt until God comes in his power, working through a servant Moses to lead the people of Israel out of their slavery and captivity in Egypt. And after they are led out in this mighty display of power because of their own stubbornness, they wander the wilderness for an entire generation. For 40 years, they are left as itinerant travelers, as itinerant exiles wandering through the wilderness. Eventually, Moses dies, and Joshua takes the mantle of leadership for the people of Israel. He is given charge of this people in the name of God. And it comes to the point in the story where they are finished with their wilderness wandering, when they are ready to enter the promised land, the land that had been promised to Abraham generations and generations ago. And Joshua sends spies into the land, and they are protected by Rahab. And now as we pick up in Joshua chapter 3, they are preparing to enter that land. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And so the entire nation of Israel, under the leadership of Joshua, is facing the Jordan River. The Jordan River is there in front of them. They are ready to cross it. They are ready to enter this new land, the promised land. In verse 2, it says, at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Don't come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. And so as they are preparing to enter the land, the command goes throughout the people that you are going to see the Ark of the Covenant, that the priests are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and you are to follow that Ark. And so it continues, verse 5, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. And so they took up the Ark and the Covenant, and they went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And so Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, each tribe a man, and when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. And so, much like the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, they were preparing to cross the Jordan on dry ground. And the story continues to talk about everything that was going to happen. And the story goes on to tell us of the Israelites crossing the Jordan. The people of Israel were facing an unknown situation. The key verse is verse 4. He says, you need to follow this covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, because you have not passed this way before. This was a new journey for the people of Israel. They were facing the unknown. And so what can we learn from this story about facing the unknown? We learn that we need to face it calmly. People of Israel, they didn't know the direction. They didn't know exactly where they were going. A few of the people had been this way before, but for the vast number of the nation of Israel, they had never been here before. This was completely new territory, completely uncharted ground for them. And yet, they were told to face it calmly. To face it confidently. But when we're there, when we're in the midst of that situation where we don't know what's going to happen, where we've never been down this road before, to face it calmly can be somewhat of a challenge, can't it? To face it in trust, to face it in stillness can be difficult. So how do we do that? Now, we remember that we're headed in the right direction. If we have faithfully followed God, if we faithfully sought the will of God, if we faithfully obeyed the Scriptures as best as we can be confident in knowing that we're headed in the right direction. And secondly, we remember that the way has been safe so far. That whatever the journey up until this point has entailed, we are here now. We have made it this far. The people of Israel had been through a lot of ups and downs and a lot of challenges over the years, but they were kept safe because they were there. They were facing the unknown because God had kept them safe. I don't know what your year has been like or what your decade has been like. I don't know what you've been through, but you're here. You are safe. God has been with you through all of it. And so we can remain calm knowing that whatever the future holds, God has been with us so far. And then third, we remember that fear and panic and all of the other emotions like anxiety and stress that go with it do nothing to change the future. We said a few weeks ago that all the time we spend worrying and stressing and being afraid is time that is literally spent wasted because it literally does not change anything. And so we face the unknown calmly. We also face it submissively. This was a new way for the people of Israel, but it was the way that God had chosen. And as followers, as disciples of Christ, our way is not our own. We're not free to go whatever way we want in our lives. We follow Jesus. And so as we follow Jesus, we change what we can reasonably change about our circumstances. We're not expected to simply give up when we are facing hard circumstances in life. We're not expected to just give in to everything around us. We can change what we can reasonably change. We can work to get to a better place in life. We can work to make the situation a little bit better for us or a little bit better for our family. But we also have to accept from God what we cannot change. Because try as we might, there are some circumstances in life that we can't change, that we can't shape, that we can't bend according to our will. And so we have to accept those things from God. And then we faithfully move forward. We faithfully obey. We follow this new way submissively. We also follow this new way compliantly. This chapter, along with much of the story of their journey, contains countless commands. Like just in the few verses that we read, there were several commands that God gave through the leaders to give to the people. And throughout their entire journey, there were specific commands, there were general commands. They weren't suggestions, they weren't hints, but commands. So what do we do with commands? When we read them in Scripture, what do? Well, it's been said that we hear commands and we heed commands. See, the reality is that we have all of the instruction that we need. You're never going to find a key or a secret to life. You're never going to hear me or any other teacher in this church teach something new, some hidden secret that no one's ever found before, because we have been given all we need. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that by God's power, He has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. There are no hidden secrets. And so we hear what God said, and we heed what God has commanded. Or as the famous Nike slogan says, just do it. So we face the unknown expectantly. A scary situation for the people of Israel to be before this river, to be before this land that they were called to conquer. Would have been scary. But God had good things in store for Israel. And when we face unknown situations, it can be scary. But we also have confidence knowing that God has good things in store for us. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not going to say that every circumstance in your life is going to be good. Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But it doesn't say everything's good. It says that God works it together for good. And so we take that, and we know that though we may face trials, in fact, Paul tells Timothy that if you desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you will face persecution. We can know that whatever persecution might come our way, whatever trials might come our way, or whatever circumstances come our way, that God is able to work it together for our good and for the good of his kingdom. And so we face unknown circumstances expectantly, knowing that whatever comes, God's good will be on the other side. And we face it confidently. The Israel had the assurance of God's presence and God's power with them. Do you pay attention to the way the Ark of the Covenant worked in this story? The Ark of the Covenant is the symbol of God's presence with his people. It's the symbol of God's covenant, of God's faithfulness, of God's promise to the people. And in this story, the Ark of the Covenant went in front of the people. The symbol of God's presence didn't need the people's protection. The symbol of God's presence is what protected the people. They were following the covenant. They were following God. And so when we're struggling to keep confidence facing that new situation, we remember that the way is new to you, but is not new to God. The idea of past and future and present are words that we use in our life. They are not words that God uses, because God is outside of time. And so, though the situation might be new for us, it's not new to God. And in a similar way, though the way is new to you, others have faced what you will face. Sometimes when we are in the midst of that unknown, when we are in the midst of that terrible situation, it feels like we are the only one who knows. We feel like we're the only one who understands. We feel like we are the only one who have been in that situation before. But the reality is that no temptation's overtaken us that's not common to mankind. That every situation we face, someone else has been there and done that. Sure, maybe it's a little bit different, but someone's already been there. No situation that we face will be a situation that we have to face alone. And we remember the presence of God will be with us. The presence of God will be with you. And if nothing else gives you confidence, that gives you confidence. And we face the unknown aggressively. Israel was facing some pretty substantial changes in their life together. Up until this point, they had been a people in servitude. They had been slaves, and they had been kind of itinerant wanderers around the wilderness. But now they were being asked to be a people of battle, a people of war. The change for them wasn't an enjoyable change. But that change, that new situation, that unknown was required for them to get to where they needed to be. If they were going to enter the promised land, if they were going to experience the blessing of God that was on the other side of the river, then that change had to take place. And so your way, your path in life, if it's going to involve growth, will require change. You can't get to where you need to be without experiencing change in your life. And when the situations you're in, when the circumstances in which you find yourself begin to change, even when it's scary, even when it's difficult, even when it's unpleasant, it becomes a chance for us to grow. And so we face it aggressively. We face it confidently, one step at a time. And we face it cheerfully. Israel didn't do particularly well at this. They should have been excited that the wilderness wandering was over. They should have been glad to get their conquest on. But they're often grumpy. They often complained. They weren't particularly thrilled about what was going on. And as we face this new year, as we face this new year together and whatever it might bring, we remember that your difficulties will be overcome. And whatever you're facing right now or whatever you're going to face isn't going to last forever. The battle will not last for all time. The suffering will not last forever. The pain will not exist into eternity. your difficulties will be overcome, or you will be given strength to handle the trials. Maybe in the coming days, in the coming weeks, or in the coming years, the situation you're facing will be overcome. You'll get through to the other side. But even if it takes longer than you're hoping, you will be given strength. Not strength that comes from your own grit or your own muscle, strength that comes from the power of the Spirit at work in your life. You will be given strength to handle the trials. And we remember that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Israel was facing the unknown. And they were called in the midst of this unknown to consecrate themselves, to make themselves holy, to make themselves ready for the work of God in our lives, or in their lives. And the best way that we can prepare in our lives to face any type of uncertainty, any type of new way or new circumstance, is to recommit ourselves to God and to God's word in our lives. Maybe you're here tonight, you need to do that, to recommit. To recommit to God's plan, God's direction, God's counsel, God's direction in your life. Tonight's a chance for you to do that. Or maybe you're here and you've never done that for the first time. You have the chance to do that now, if you would come forward as we stand and as we sing together.